Welcome to the In Hope Podcast, where each Monday we drop a new episode to help us strengthen unity in the body of Christ. We want you to be part of the conversation. So subscribe, like, share, and follow, and let us know your thoughts. This is your host, Preach. Let's get into it. Today we get to join in conversation with Steve Tanner. He has years of experience in local church ministry, Christian radio, and is currently serving as a chaplain to businesses in the Boise, Idaho area. Remember to comment, like, share, and be part of this conversation. So are you guys in a new place or?
We moved in there in October.
Okay.
And so, It's a new house, so the backyard is just bare dirt. So we're seeking to landscape there. We've been planting trees and putting down some edging and things like that. So it's fun. We like it. It's just we've been spent a lot of prep on this dirt. I've been tuning my sprinkler heads and, you know, doing all that stuff to get it ready for this hydro seed.
Okay.
So
nice. All right, now Steve.
Now I can tell you're a veteran of this place. I'm doing
the shake.
You're doing the smart thing. I think I ripped my cover.
It wasn't the first time.
Yeah.
No, I didn't do it. I think it was maybe the third or fourth time I finally came here to Cup Bop that I realized, okay, I need to close this and just shake it up.
Yeah.
I may have saw someone else do it. I don't remember. But yeah, that's how you do it. What's it called? So tell me, did you guys move because of your job,
or no.
How did have you guys been out here for a while?
We've been here in August. It'll be 2 years. So
two
we
years.
Moved
okay.
in August of 22.
Okay.
So, we started the pathway towards coming here was, just one of our kids were grown and out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So we were empty nesters. We didn't have any other family in Tucson where we lived at the time.
Mm.
We'd been there for 15 years. So had a lot of friends and I was serving on the staff of a church,
mm-hmm.
but we just thought, you know, we're not getting any younger. And if we're going to be a part of the lives of our kids and future grandkids, then maybe we should consider the move to Idaho, where our son and daughter-in-law were. Our other son at the time was still in Tucson, but he was moving to Idaho as well.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so,
so the whole family,
is here. Yeah.
Way.
So we have two boys and it's a story that really started in 2017 of mm-hmm. getting us here. I grew up in Texas
mm-hmm.
and I first came to Christ through a high school ministry in Dallas. And then later on, I worked at that church, was ordained in that church.
Oh, wow.
And served as a pastor in that church as an associate pastor.
Yeah.
Had family and all in the area, but we just sensed a call to move to Tucson, Arizona, which actually was my birthplace.
All right.
I'd only lived there till I was two, and then the family moved to Dallas. So I grew up in Dallas, but we came back to Tucson. So my kids were in sixth and ninth grade at the time. So we were in Tucson that was in 2007. In 2017, our younger son, was in college, or was graduating from college, and he had met a girl from Meridian, Idaho.
Nice.
And so they both started college in 2014 at Grand Canyon University.
Okay, I was
in
just
Phoenix.
About to ask. I was going to say, tell me what college they went to.
GCU in Phoenix. So that's where they met. So that was the beginning of our tie to Idaho.
Mm.
We came, the first time we ever came to the Treasure Valley was for me to officiate their wedding in 2017.
Yeah.
And so that started the process. But so So they finished college in April.
Yeah.
They both turned 21 in June. They got married in July of 2017.
Wow.
In September of 2017, 2 months into their marriage, our daughter-in-law had a massive pulmonary embolism that put her in a coma, put her in cardiac arrest for an hour and a half.
No.
It was awful. We thought we'd lost her. We were told she had a less than 1% chance to make it, even a couple of years into, a couple of days into the event. we were told she had a less than 1% chance to live. And then just to the process of watching God at work through that, spending nights at the hospital. She was in a coma for a week. But then after being told all of that, she got a scan, an MRI, and the doc from the day before where they were saying less than 1%, then the very next day they're saying, we think she has a chance to make it.
Wow.
Well, we had prayers going all over the world. Literally, we're seeing posts on Facebook from Australia of a YWAM class down there.
Yep, yep.
Praying for her and just seeing God's miracle in her life. She was still in a coma when we got that news. So then she started to wake up a few days later. We were told, you know, she's going to have months and months of rehab. Mm. She's going to have probably because of the blood clots that caused the embolism that shut her blood flow down. We were told it's going to be a long time. She may be on blood thinners for the rest of her life. Well, she walked out of the hospital in 2 months. She continued in rehab because, you know, just kind of getting her sea legs back under her. She was off the blood thinners in 6 months. The doc in the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah.
When she was still in recovery. She was at the kind of the long-term care just because she was on a ventilator the whole nine yards. I walked into her hospital room the first day, Nathaniel, and I counted 11 different IVs connected to her plus the ventilator. And so it was so, so dark and awful.
Yeah.
But, so she had to do rehab, even, you know, once she got out of the hospital, then she needed to continue with some rehab.
Yeah.
So they came up here to Idaho and moved in with her parents so that Philip, my son, he quit his job that he was working in Phoenix, and he was able just to devote time to her while they stayed with her parents.
Wow.
And then he ended up getting a job through a temp agency. The company that he was working temp for hired him full time. He's still there. God just continues to work the miracle in their lives. He was able to go fully remote before COVID.
Yeah. And he was already set.
He was already set remote before COVID even hit.
Man.
And so he was just continued to see God's blessing through that. And so, you know, all this stuff, because it was because of the embolism and because of the trauma and because of all this and this and this, we weren't sure if they'd be able to have kids. But then once they were given the all clear that we felt, you know, be careful, it'd be relatively high risk pregnancy, but you're good to go. And so when we got that, where we're like, you know, maybe we should plan to move up there. We could be helpful if kids come along. Well, so we make the decision to come. By that time, I had been working in the radio ministry.
Okay.
And for 11 years, I was working for a radio ministry called Family Life Radio based in Tucson.
Okay.
But I had gone on staff at our church
in
Tucson. So I went back into pastoral ministry. After all of that happened with our daughter-in-law, God just was like, you know, I'm like, God really tested our faith and we saw him work, and I was just ready to make a change into that. The pastor invited me to come on staff. So I did. So the last 5 years we were in Tucson, I was on staff at a church. But then we made the decision to come up here.
Yeah.
And once we had already made, we made that decision a few months later, we get the phone call. Hey, guess what? We're pregnant. Like, yeah, all right.
That is awesome.
God's miracles just continue now.
No, absolutely.
Our grandson is 15 months old now.
Wow.
And he was born after we moved here. And just the blessing continued for all of that.
So you were here for it.
We were here for it. We're here to be local grandparents. Yeah. And not that there's anything wrong with it if it doesn't work out for it, or if you have kids scattered.
But when you're talking ideals, I mean.
right.
So what grandparent wouldn't want to be there,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So it's a long way to get to so we came here not really knowing exactly what we do. I was pursuing possibilities in radio, pursuing possibilities in church, pursuing possibilities in, of all things, hospice chaplaincy.
Yeah.
Because I'm really drawn to grief care and helping people through grief.
Okay.
But those things, I mean, radio, I was able to go to work for a local radio station for a while.
Okay.
And what a blessing they were in the local area. But this other thing came up, it was called corporate chaplaincy through a company called Corporate Chaplains of America. And when I read about what they do and that they serve in businesses with a chaplain role, it's just really intrigued me. My wife said, that sounds like something you would be especially good at. So,
when you shared that
got us there.
Yeah. When you shared your card with me, because we met at a networking event put on by KTSY, you know, and you shared that card with me and you mentioned how you were a chaplain for corporate agencies. I just thought that was, it's not something I've heard of. And I was like, okay, we got to talk about this. We have to figure out how exactly does this work? What does it look like? What does the church at large, what can we learn about this? Because I didn't grow up in the church, but I've been in the church for more than half my life. So, and this is the first time I've ever heard that term before. So how did you find that? How did that come across your path? And what has it been like being in that role? I just find that intriguing. How does that work?
I found it through LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. Really? Yeah. All right. See, there we go. God using social media.
Exactly. Making those connections, you know, intentional connections is a really good thing, a good way God uses media and technology. But yeah, saw it on LinkedIn. Actually, I saw it the summer before we moved here.
Mm.
And I inquired about, it was a part-time role in Emmett, Idaho.
Okay.
And what I found out was it just meant that the company I would have been serving was in Emmett.
In Emmett.
Near the Boise area.
Yeah.
And for those of you who are not in the Boise area.
Yeah.
people in Boise are like, we know where Emmett is. So I saw that. So I actually reached out and talked to their recruiter.
Yeah.
And when they found out that I wasn't quite ready to move here, this was like in maybe May before we moved in August. Yeah,
exactly.
And he was like, yeah, we got somebody else we're talking to that's more ready. So that's fine. Good.
Yeah.
Have a great life. God bless you. It sounds like an amazing thing. But then about 6 months later, after we moved here, then I saw it pop up
again. There
we go. And I inquired again and said, hey, I'm the guy you talked to last summer that, you know, you couldn't hire because I wasn't ready to move here. Well, I'm here now.
Mm-hmm.
And your job is posted again. So they hired me for a part-time role. And then, so I took on two small companies.
Okay.
Serving their employees. And then since then, I've gone to full-time status. I'm covering several more companies.
Wow.
Always looking to grow.
That's so cool.
Because I'm a little more than halfway to the number of people that my capacity would be to be able to serve.
Yeah, yeah.
So some of our chaplains, like we have this company called Corporate Chaplains of America, have 400 chaplains across the country.
That's so cool.
And so we're serving 500,000 or 600,000 employees all across the United States. We're new, though, to the West.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only one in Idaho. I'm the first and only and only in Idaho.
Wow.
But I'm the only one here right now.
Yeah.
We got one, and I think another coming on in Montana. We've got one or two in Oregon, one or two in, you know, so the West is the wild, wild new frontier West for corporate chaplains of America.
That's
Nashville, Tennessee has 21 of our chaplains.
Okay.
So if we started
good
in
old
the South,
Nashville.
started in North Carolina almost 30 years ago. And so really has a strong footprint and influence there, but new out here. So,
that's so cool.
But I'm full-time doing this, looking to grow.
Yeah.
Looking for business owners who maybe they're a Christian and they just want to serve their people at a higher level than what their EAP can do, what their regular company benefits can do.
What their human resources department and whatnot. Yeah.
And so the way that I serve is I go make rounds about once a week and I go and I just have FaceTime with employees. Shake their hand, ask them how they're doing, what a little bit of their background, learn something about their family, learn their name. Cool. Learning their name is a huge thing. I just saw a guy a couple of days ago and I said, Michael, how's it going? He's like, you knew my name? That's impressive. And I'm like, why wouldn't I know your name? You know, it's just a natural thing. But so building those relationships. Our mission statement says to build caring relationships with the hope of gaining permission to share the life-changing good news of Jesus.
Yeah.
In a non-threatening manner.
That's so cool.
It's all about building relationships.
Yeah.
And maybe we do, maybe we don't, but we want to turn the corner into a presentation of the gospel.
Exactly.
Into an invitation for Christ, or if they're already a believer, to have some kind of opportunity to encourage them and growth in their own commitment to Jesus.
So
it's such a cool thing to do. And to stand at a trucking terminal and talk to a truck driver, a forklift operator, stand at a gravel pit, Emmett, Idaho, talking to a truck driver who's about to go and deliver gravel all over the area.
Exactly.
Or a guy in a rock crusher. You got to put in earplugs. It's so loud and this thing's crushing rocks and making gravel and making sand. And all this stuff, but going places I never otherwise would have been, Nathaniel. Mm-hmm. It's so cool to be taking Jesus to them. And, you know, the church is plan A for the body, and there is no plan B. So the church is paramount, and serving in a church is a wonderful honor and being on staff there. But I'm getting to see guys that aren't showing up in my church, and I get to take the presence of Jesus to them.
Yeah. Well, and you're serving as the church.
Yes.
Right. I mean, the church is the people, and it's supposed to spread where we go. We're supposed to take the kingdom with us. And so I love this because you're serving as the church in these corporate areas. And we talk about, I've had multiple conversations where we talk about how we need to be, you know, on mission and take our faith into where our workplace is, into our schools and that type of thing. And I mean, really, you're on mission for these different corporate agencies that you're working for with the permission of their leadership, saying, come in here, build relationship. And you have an open door to build relationship and share the gospel with these guys. And so I think that's just amazing. That is really, I really do hope that grows out here in this area.
You. And you know, the permission side of it. Yes. Yeah. I have permission from ownership or leadership.
Yeah.
But even at the one-on-one level, exactly. I'm seeking permission from them.
Yeah.
The benefit to them is voluntary.
Exactly.
Nobody has to talk to me. Nope. I'm not their boss. I'm not their supervisor. Yeah. I'm not.
You're
the
not in their chain of command.
Exactly. And so they can have conversations with me and confidence, keeping confidence.
Exactly.
So they can have a conversation with me about anything.
Exactly.
And I will hold that confidence. It's not going in their record.
Yeah.
It's not being reported to anybody.
Yeah.
The only, you know, we're mandatory reporters if they're threatening harm to themselves or someone else. But those
things. And that's just but normal society exactly. type of stuff. You know, yeah.
And that's just common sense, yeah. too. So, but I've had a conversation with a guy yesterday about some pretty rugged stuff he's going through in life. And he told me, he said, I haven't talked to anybody here about this. But he was so happy to have me as a resource to be able to talk about some things facing in life. And that is what a blessing that is to be able to be. I call it the ministry of presence.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm talking about. You're there. Ministry needs to happen. And it's there's activity here where there's a need.
Yeah.
So let's go to there.
Yeah.
And not expect the need to come to us.
Yeah. There's another term that I hear this in the microchurch world. It's that incarnational living.
Mm.
When you show up and again, you're being the body of Christ present for them, you know, where they're at, meeting them where they are and just being the body of Christ, being there to give an ear, to show the love of Christ. So I think that's so great. I love that. It makes me think. So I've had this thought of different areas that have chaplains, right? Because I was in the military, so I was familiar with chaplains in the military. I've also heard of chaplains that will work with law enforcement and police officers. And you know what's funny? I never thought about it in a corporate sense, but something, and this is probably because I was a youth pastor, I thought, man, wouldn't it be amazing if school districts or schools allowed chaplains on campus to be there for, you know, their staff, their faculty and the students. And I feel like that would just be an amazing avenue of being able to, again, have somebody there, bringing the kingdom there and just being there to be the body of Christ,
right.
Give that ear. And like you said, it can open up the door of the conversations that that they're not comfortable having
right.
elsewhere.
Right.
And so...
And you hit on a key element of that, too, with chaplaincy to the staff, to the
teacher. Exactly.
Because, you know, the kids have resources. They have guidance counselors. They have a teacher. They mm-hmm. have, you know, maybe parent sponsors mm-hmm. or whatever. But to serve and help the staff and the faculty who don't have even, and we do that. We have, it's fairly new in our company with Corporate Chaplains of America.
Yeah.
But beginning to do some of that in school district.
Oh,
and what a cool thing that is.
That is so cool.
To offer that. And another thing that would be really cool, you know, hospitals have chaplains.
Exactly. Hospitals.
But the staff doesn't have a chaplain.
Really? So the chaplain is only there for the patient.
And maybe there's some, you know, and I can't speak for every chaplain in every hospital system. And there may be some elements of that where the chaplain is available to staff. But still that chaplain is employed by the hospital, mm-hmm. My understanding, in most situations. So,
yeah, yeah.
So just being able to support and love on people.
And have that third party.
Yeah.
I mean, I can imagine the chaplains who are on staff, therefore the patients, could be encouraged by a chaplain.
Yeah, exactly.
As a third party coming in. And I mean, that honestly, that gets into this idea of just being able to encourage one another in the work environment, right? One of those big things that I always say with unity in the body of Christ is that it starts with awareness. When you have this awareness of one another, it can provide an opportunity for you to uplift, encourage one another. For example, I mean, we're over here eating, right? Anytime I know of a business that's Christian owned, I am automatically inclined to go support it.
Yeah.
For me, it's just a natural inclination. That's Christian. I want to go and support it. And of course, I mean, it's still, we pray that it's quality and whatnot. If I go there and I get food poisoning, I'm probably not going back. It's going to give me this initial inclination to go give it a try.
Sure.
Right? I feel like it's similar when you know about other believers in your workplace. Sometimes you can feel isolated, feel alone, feel like you don't have people to talk to. But when you know there's other believers and you're able to build that relationship and support one another and come alongside one another with words of encouragement and prayer, and man, that can make all the difference in living out our faith in the workplace and being a light in our workplace, especially with what you guys are doing as corporate chaplains. I feel like that automatically helps bring that into those workplaces where they know they're going to be regularly seeing a chaplain come in with shared faith that they can talk about faith with and be encouraged in the faith.
Yeah, even if they maybe haven't identified another coworker yet, maybe they're new and they don't know any, they're not sure about that guy over there, or the forklift driver or the person in the next cubicle. They're not sure yet, but they can be sure about me.
Exactly.
That I'm there to provide care and build relationship. It was interesting. Just a couple of days ago, I was serving another one of my companies who is an engineering company. They're structural engineers.
Okay.
Bunch of geniuses in this place.
Yeah, I know, right?
And so, you know, I'm walking around just feeling like everybody's brain power is about 10 degrees above me. But their HR manager said to me, "Thanks for loving on our people." And she gets it. She knows.
No, absolutely.
And so it's really, and that's really what I seek to do, is to just have that opportunity to build those relationships. Yeah. And it takes time. You know, I'm only going once a week and I'm seeing them for a couple of minutes, but once there's usually a kind of a hurdle to climb over of, is this guy for real? Is he really going to show up?
Exactly. Is he going to be consistent?
Right.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And so it's really a cool thing, Nathaniel, whenever I, walk into a place just like this week. My schedule was out of whack this week for various reasons. And so I went on a different day to a couple of places than I normally go. Say I normally go on Wednesday. Well, I showed up on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And people are like looking at their watch and looking up at me like, why?
Yeah, exactly.
I thought you came on, you know. And so it made me feel so good. That was just a little thing and they didn't think anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But for them to notice that I was there at a different time means they know when they're expecting
exactly.
me. And that's a... That was so big to see that and to hear that from them. They didn't articulate it like, "Oh, we're so happy that you're here on a different day. We love it when you're here." It was just, "Hey, you're here on a different day." But they noticed.
Exactly.
And that was cool. Yeah. And these were guys that, you know, this is a trucking company, and these are guys that I sometimes wonder if they're listening at all, paying attention at all. but they are, you know, and they're watching for action too.
Yeah.
And that's where you're earning respect, earning the right. And that's what how we say in the mission statement, is gaining permission.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can be having a conversation with somebody. They're talking about a marriage situation. Well, Nathaniel, can I tell you about an experience I've had with that? And it involves, you know, something that I learned from the Bible. Are you okay with me sharing that way? Oh, sure thing. Sure, Steve. Fine.
Yeah.
Boom, the door's open.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that leads into gospel presentations. Yep. It leads into salvations. I was at Starbucks with a guy who called me. He was going through some stuff, facing some challenges and some decisions to make, and we honed it down. I ended up, he was right on the edge. You know what that feels like? You're right there.
Yep, yep.
You've talked about it, and they're nodding their head. Uh-huh. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Would you like to do that? But, you know, it's the Holy Spirit that has to draw them in, right? Well, but I was able to give him a Bible. I was so able, cool. Now we have a talking point.
Yeah, beyond absolutely.
That. Hey, how's it going? Hey, did you read that? The thing I showed you in the Bible
exactly.
about yeah. relationships or whatever.
Well, and that's an undeniable seed.
Yeah.
I mean, when you at least get to that point, it's an undeniable moment of choice that person can look back on. That I believe and I pray this often that God will bring that occasion back to mind. Time and time again, it's just going to echo in their mind to where it's not going to be something they can shrug off and forget, but God's going to keep on bringing that back to their remembrance and thinking about that decision and where they're at and if they're ready to make that decision, if they should make that decision. So that's,
continuing to be consistent.
Yeah.
Every time he sees me, hopefully he'll think about that conversation.
Exactly.
And hey, you know, I won't use his real name, but hey, George.
Yeah.
How's it going, man? And if there's other people around, I'm not going to say, hey, George, did you read that Bible? I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll say, hey, George, how you doing? Well, if it's a private opportunity, I might say, hey, how's that going?
Exactly.
Unless he gave me permission to talk about it in front of everybody, then I will hold that confidence. That's just another example of protecting that and protecting the relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That is so cool. I love to hear that. This is spreading and it's spreading towards the West. Yeah. I really hope that this does just grow in this area. And I'd love to see, you know, we have a good number of Christian owned businesses here in the Treasure Valley area and in Idaho. And I'd love to see this kind of take root in those and just spread.
And the best, you know, word of mouth, like it is in anything.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I've picked up more. In fact, had a conversation with some guys this week about potentially serving their people. But they found out about us through a friend who does use us, you know? And so it's always cool to see that. And, you know,
that's so
anybody cool. if you're just curious about what this is and what Corporate Chaplains of America is, chaplain.org is the website.
Chaplain.org.
And you can see all about it there.
It's so cool.
Read about it and maybe, you know, see some things on there where you can just be praying for us.
Yeah.
Because we've got 400 of us around the country and some, man, the stories, the experiences, you know, going through training and hearing stories from senior leadership in the company.
Yeah.
Guys who were chaplains 20 years ago or 10 years ago, telling stories about, and now I'm starting to, in training, you know, it's all theoretical.
Exactly.
You had that experience, but it's not my experience yet. But now being able to have some of those experiences myself.
Yeah.
And see that now it's actual instead of theoretical. Yeah. And it's so much fun to be a part of it and have my own stories to tell now.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to more and more stories to tell. In fact, just today, every month we submit stories.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
And
nice.
We send them in. We put them in. We have a way to enter them. So that the leaders that bring us in, the owners or whatever, they can get some snippets.
Now,
unless I've been given permission, I'm not going to say it was George Jones who came to me and said, you know, my marriage is falling apart. It's not going to be any of that, but I'll tell it in a way that protects all of that, but is so cool. And my boss, who's called a regional director, his name is Jeremy, he texted me this morning. He said, I've just been reading over breakfast this morning. I've been reading your stories from April.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, what a great way to start the day.
Right?
And so it's just so cool
Absolutely.
To see how God's at work.
Oh, man.
And through
that is so
ministries like yours.
I mean,
being able to partner here as brothers
in
Christ, meeting you at a KTSY.
Yeah, the network lunch. It wasn't event. A lunch. It was a network event. Yeah.
And what were there probably 20 of us there?
Exactly.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Not a big deal, but just that's another one that you said about in the workplace of finding, you know, kindred spirits.
Exactly.
And finding kindred spirits in the community who are really seeking to reach out
Absolutely.
And go beyond the walls of the church.
Oh, too. Yeah. Man, I can't even really put into words just the feeling. I don't know if confidence is the right word, but really it is the encouragement and how uplifting it is to know, you, like you said, you have kindred spirits. You, whether you're in the workplace or in the community, it makes such a big difference. I know it was very encouraging for me, for example, when I was in the military or when I was working for the Department of Corrections, all those different types of things. When I was working in fitness business, it was always encouraging to know when I had another brother or sister It doesn't even mean that we had always sat down and had Bible studies and long conversations, or but there was just something about knowing that we had that kindred spirit and being able to come in contact with each other and check on each other, say hi. It made a big difference, big difference.
Well, thanks for using your platform here with the podcast, with ministry, with your ministry to make that word, that information available, you know, at thumb tips.
At thumb tips, yeah, exactly. Yeah, right in the ear, right? As you're driving or sitting down, especially for those listening, I would really encourage you guys, and I'm going to ask you just here in a moment, Steve, to maybe give some takeaway thoughts, maybe some ways that we can encourage each other in the workplace, come alongside of what maybe Corporate Chaplains of America is doing and really support that. But I know something that was in my mind was just if we could just really make it a point. I always say we should be praying for, I guess someone else said this first, that we should pray for laborers because the harvest is plentiful, right?
I think that someone was Jesus, yeah.
Right? So, I mean, in that, I think this, what Corporate Chaplains of America is doing, that is a great way to kind of hone that prayer in, even with an example of, I really do pray that more chaplains would rise up in different organizations and that more organizations would bring on chaplains, see the benefit and the value of that. Because that's a whole nother thing, right? Is realizing the value of bringing in a chaplain. And so business owners making that decision. And so we just pray that those eyes would be open to that and that there would be more and more chaplains that are meeting the needs of schools and hospitals and first responders and businesses all throughout Idaho.
Right.
I mean, that would be great. It's
good.
All
preach
throughout
it, brother.
America.
Preach
yeah,
it,
that,
man.
But what's, especially, I mean, for some believers that maybe they work in an area, it's one thing when you work in ministry, right? It's a whole nother thing when you're working in a secular field, a secular department, organization. What's some ways maybe that you have seen or that you would encourage them to help uplift each other, to help be an encouragement to one another?
Sure. I think that we have another pandemic going on in this country, and that is loneliness.
Yes.
I mean, it kind of started, it didn't, I mean, we've always had loneliness, so it didn't start with COVID.
I think it highlighted
it. It was like throwing gasoline on the fire.
Exactly.
Of it.
Yeah.
And now coming out of that, there's more remote workers. Mm-hmm. There's more people doing hybrid kind of work. There's more just fragmenting of our world.
Yeah.
We see there's so many ways in which our world is fragmented politically, spiritually, emotionally, professionally, the fragmentation that goes on.
Yeah.
You know, we can name all the ways that we see it on the news every night of fragmentation and angst and anger and all of that. But loneliness is kind of a core piece of all of that.
Mm.
And so I would encourage, you know, when you're in your workplace, be intentional to find someone.
Yeah.
To pour life into. Yes, you want to find another believer that you can, you know, have coffee with and maybe pray with or something and have an amazing relationship. But seek out, it's like I hear when you see a kid who just has a soft-hearted kid, who notices the kid who nobody's playing with, and will go and play with that kid.
Exactly.
We all love those stories.
Exactly.
Well, you know what? Those stories are happening with 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds.
Oh, yeah.
And there's someone who feels shunned and they're lonely.
Yeah.
They get off work and that's it.
Yeah.
They don't have anything else until they go back to work the next day.
Exactly.
But seeking those people out to be a friend to someone and take an intentional step to do that. And who knows? It might be a ministry opportunity that God gives you to bring them to Christ or just bring them to encouragement. Yeah. Maybe they're already a believer, but they've kind of walked away or they've think God has abandoned them or whatever. But loneliness being such a huge part of our culture.
Yeah.
And yes, we have devices and we can connect to anything, anywhere, but the true human connection.
There's a difference.
So lacking.
There's a difference.
Exactly.
Through the device and the face to face. There's just, and it's not saying that God can't use the device.
Right.
Cause
he's
using it right now.
This podcast.
Exactly. He has, he does, he will, but there is something special about that face to face.
Yeah.
Being able to do that in person. And something that came to my mind as you were just saying that, you know, seeking out someone to pour into. And you're right, to really take that ownership of saying, you know, I'm going to pour life into someone here.
Right.
I'm going to be a light and salt to someone here. And trying to bring the kingdom of God at hand to other people's lives.
Right.
It made me think of how Jesus, he sent his disciples out two by two, right? And it made me think that when you do find someone that is in your workplace, let that be an encouragement for you guys to take on that area together.
Sure.
Right? Not just me and you, you know, one on one, powwow, right. We're going to lift each other up, but all right, how are we going to minister to this person?
Right.
Like, hey, I've been praying for this person. Will you pray for them with me?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I've been trying, will you build relationship with this person for me? And really encouraging each other to be the hands and feet of Christ in that workplace.
Good. And, you know, you might just more, you know, we can think of a lot of scenarios, but, you know, you see maybe a boss really getting on somebody and it's really discouraged them.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go talk to Susie about what just happened and encourage her not to go around chain of authority. Not to undermine, and not to go over there and say, yeah, that guy's really a jerk. You don't have to take that from him or her, but just to go encourage, say, hey,
yeah,
I know that was rough. If you ever need somebody to talk to, I'm here for you. Yeah. Or better yet, go talk to the chaplain.
Right.
I mean, I'm saying that facetiously, but you're going to see things, your boots on the ground.
Yeah.
You could see that and be an encourager to someone.
Absolutely.
They may reject it. They may like, get out of my face. I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
But don't give up.
No. Yeah.
Don't give up. Because some people think they want to be lone wolves.
Exactly.
But deep down, typically, yeah. And there are some that can live. I get it. But most typically, and you know this.
Yeah. A lot of times it's a defense mechanism.
Right.
It's putting up guard and fear of being hurt.
Yeah. Well, when you're in the fitness industry,
yeah.
Didn't partners do better than somebody trying to work out on their
own? And that's why one of my favorite things to do is boot camps. Worked with an organization called Camp Gladiator, and I've done boot camps before, small groups. Those are the best because and most people who work out will attest to this. You will go farther and push yourself harder when you are working out next to someone else doing the same thing.
It's good.
It's just automatic. Good. There's a competitive drive. There's this, you know, we're in it together. And there's just an encouraging factor there that makes you go harder and farther than you ever would by yourself.
It's good. You know, that's the model of discipleship and mentorship and bringing someone else along. Yeah, you have a peer, but to always have somebody that you're seeking to bring along
the
journey with you. When I would talk to my little leaguers, they didn't want to listen to me.
Say,
hey, guys, and this is Tiger Woods is in his prime.
Uh-huh.
And I say, you know, guys, did you know that Tiger Woods has a coach? Mm-hmm. Even though Tiger Woods made multi-millions of dollars last year and he's won 15 major tournaments, Tiger Woods has a coach.
Exactly.
Who helps him to succeed. And so we can do that and we can be that with people and we don't have to have arrived at the destination. We just got to be a step ahead.
Exactly.
We're just helping them to take the next step like we're trying to take the next step.
Yeah. And a lot of times it's not even that being the coach doesn't mean that, for example, with Tiger Woods, with Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan, with, you know, you can, you know, Vince Lombardi or Bill, why am I forgetting his name? Patriots coach, Bill
Belichick.
See?
You got me with a
I know, right? Mouthful, a cup bop. There we go. But with Bill Belichick and Brady, all these, you can point to so many different examples, right? Tony Dungy and Manning. It doesn't mean that the coach is better than the player or can do what the player can do.
Right.
But it offers another set of eyes,
right?
It offers another way of looking at things, a different perspective that can often be helpful.
And chaplaincy is exactly that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not there to become a mentor to everybody in a business. Uh-huh. That's not my role. But I can be in some instances or in some situations to help them find help, to help them find encouragement, and to be outside eyes, fresh eyes, looking in a situation, helping them deal maybe with conflict, resolution or mm-hmm. with a marital issue
yeah,
or,
yeah.
you know, we have resources available to us. We have subject matter experts within exactly. Corporate Chaplains of America that can help me to help them. And yeah. I have a network of people, of counselors and,
exactly.
You know, financial coaches and
yeah.
Food banks and exactly. you know, all that kind of stuff
yeah.
where I can help someone. I can't do it all, but I can help them find the help something. That they need.
Yeah.
And so coming in with fresh eyes exactly. on it is another one of the great benefits of having someone like a chaplain
exactly.
come into your business to do that and serve your people.
Yeah. That's one of the beautiful things about the body of Christ working together too, because yeah. none of us can do it all on our own. But if we're getting to know one another, we can make those connections to where we know where to point people to. And just thinking about that, especially with this idea as Corporate Chaplains of America is growing and it's expanding out and into the West here in the US and it's growing, I would challenge, and I imagine this is international. Do you know if this is international?
Corporate Chaplains?
Yeah.
Not so far.
Not yet, but I'm assuming it's going to get there. I'm assuming there's things that are, and so, for those around the world that
semi right there
yeah.
is from one of the companies I serve.
Oh, that's so cool.
So there's gravel in that, or he's yep, emptying, yep. going to pick up gravel, but that's, the company out of Emmett.
That's so cool. That is so
that
cool.
I serve. So if I could see around the corner,
you might know that driver. Yeah. What's it called? But yeah, I mean, those that are around America, around the world, even that could use something like this. Maybe you don't know if you could use something like this. Let me say, if you are a Christian business owner, give something like this a chance. Like you have an opportunity to, and I'm going to say this because I don't want it to sound like Steve is over here just trying to get more business, but but what it is this is an opportunity really to invite someone in and help expand the kingdom within your own business. It's you are a gatekeeper, I would say. You're someone that can open that door to people in your organization and just invite the kingdom in, invite co-laborers in for people there in your business that may not talk to you simply because you're the boss. I mean, as it is, right? Simply because you're the boss. And so if you're a Christian business leader, I feel like it's worth looking into this. If you are believers that are just in organizations, it's good to pray for this, good to keep these things in mind, and especially just different ministries. I feel like it's really good to reach out and say, hey, I can be an asset in this area, whether, like you said, it's in marital counseling, it's in, you know, family counseling, it's in whatever it may be, with getting people clothes, getting people food, getting, make connections with the chaplains in your area so that they know there's those resources to plug people into, because they're going to have conversations that we likely would not be able to have.
Right. Good.
Yep.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And so I know you had another place to be. And don't want to keep you too long, but thank you so much.
Well, thank you so for the opportunity. For it's great. You know, when I met you at that event, I was like, this is a cool dude. I want to hang out with him.
I got you fooled. Hey, no, this I'm sure this
but
is.
But I appreciate the opportunity. Really
no,
do.
Absolutely. I'm sure this is a blessing for the listeners, too, because I always say I can't stand my voice. But what's it called? Now we got that professional radio voice up on here and gave everybody something good to listen to.
Well, thank you, Nathaniel, for the opportunity, for the time. And again, if you wanted to just find out more, just read about more about what's going on, even if it's not something that you feel like God's leading you into, chaplain.org, you can
yeah.
find out a lot more about what's going on yeah. and see some cool things to pray about too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast this week. Don't be shy and don't just stand by, all right? Go ahead and like, share, comment, subscribe, and let us know your thoughts. We want you to be part of the conversation. We also want you to not just stand by, be part of this endeavor of helping to strengthen unity in the body of Christ. You can help support this by visiting us at www.nhope.tv. You can give there, and you can also look for opportunities to help and be part of this ministry.
We could use the help, and we want to see this go far. And I'm sure you also want to see the body of Christ growing more unified. So help us with this endeavor. Share the word, and we'll see you back next week for the End Hope Podcast.